text for this beautiful Easter morning would be taken from the Acts of the Apostles. So you know me as a pastor, that means you get to sit down, you get to stay seated today. Because I'm going to read a long text. We're not going to preach it verse by verse. But it's a different direction, no doubt, on Easter. But I think you'll see the full circle of it. Acts of the Apostles, we're going to read chapter 26 in its entirety, verses 1 through 32. And I'll read slow because I'm not the greatest reader in the world. Then Agrippa said unto Paul, "Thou art permitted to speak for thyself." Then Paul stretched forth his hand and answered for himself, "I think myself happy, King Agrippa, because I shall answer for myself this day before thee, touching all the things whereof I am accused of the Jews, especially because I know thee to be an expert in all customs and questions which are among the Jews. Therefore, I beseech thee to hear me patiently. My manner of life from my youth, which was at the first among mine own nation in Jerusalem, known all the Jews, which they knew me from the beginning, if they would testify that after the most straitest sect of our religion, I lived as a Pharisee. And now I stand and am judged for the hope of the promise made of God unto our fathers, unto which promise our 12 tribes, instantly serving God day and night, hope to come, for which hope's sake, King Agrippa, I am accused of the Jews. Why should it be thought a thing incredible to you that God should raise the dead? I verily thought myself that I ought to do many things contrary to the name of Jesus of Nazareth, which thing I also did in Jerusalem. And many of the saints did I shut up in prison, having received authority from the chief priests. And when they were put to death, I gave my voice against them. And I punished them oft in every synagogue, and compelled them to blaspheme. And being exceedingly mad against them, I persecuted them even unto strange cities. Whereupon, as I went to Damascus, with the authority and commission from the chief priests, at midday, O king, I saw in the way light from heaven, above the brightness of the sun, shining around about me and them which journeyed with me. And when we were all fallen to the earth, I heard a voice speaking unto me, saying in the Hebrew tongue, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? It is hard for thee to kick against the pricks. And I said, Who art thou, Lord? And he answered, I am Jesus, whom thou persecutest. But rise, and stand up thy feet, and I shall appear unto, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness, both of these things which thou hast seen, and those things which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and the Gentiles, unto whom I now send thee, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light, from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and the inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith that is in me. Whereupon, O Agrippa, I was not disobedient unto the heavenly vision, but showed first unto them of Damascus and at Jerusalem and throughout the coast of Judea, and then to the Gentiles, that they should repent and turn to God and do the works meet for repentance. For these causes the Jews caught me in the temple and went about to kill me. Having therefore obtained help from God, I continue unto this day, witnessing both small and great, saying none other thing than those which the prophets and Moses did say should come, that Christ should suffer, and that he should be the first rise from the dead, and should show light unto the people and to the Gentiles. And thus spake for him Festus, said with a loud voice, Paul, thou art beside thyself, much learning doth make thee mad. But he said, I am not mad, most noble Festus, but speak forth the words of truth and somberness. And the king knoweth these things before whom I speak freely, and I am persuaded that none of these things are hidden from him, for this thing was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, believest thou the prophets? I know thou believest. Then Agrippa said to Paul, Almost thou persuaded me to be a Christian. And Paul said, I would to God, not only you, but also all that hear me this day, were both almost and altogether such as I am, except these bonds. And then he had thus spoken, the king rose up, and the governor, and Bernice, and they sat with him. And when they had gone aside, they talked amongst themselves, this man has done nothing worthy of death or bonds. Then said Agrippa unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, this is your word that's before us. Though we have tongues of clay, we know, Father, by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that you can speak. We pray, Father, that we would not hear from the wisdom of men, but rather that we would be bring you honor and glory, and that we'd be sanctified in the truth. We ask this in Christ's name. Amen. We've heard many times, even within this service, that he is risen. We've even responded with, he is risen indeed. But the reality also of this statement is that he is risen. And the question that I would have for each and every one of us and myself, are we? Are we risen in him and through him? Do we live the victory of Jesus Christ? Are we, if we could say it this way, active within his body? And are we moving forward in this world in faith? I don't know if you know this or not. Mark kind of alluded to it when he said this world is really a sinful place. In other words, it's not to point out different individual pet sins that we may have of people. It's a difficult place to live in. There is struggle. There is turmoil. There is illnesses. There are many different aspects of our life that can be quite overwhelming. And the question that I would have for each and every one of us is, how can we do it alone? I can't. When Jesse tries to journey alone, he becomes overwhelmed. He often sees nothing but darkness. Apostle Paul, who was Saul, had a very, very interesting time in his life where he is a very zealous individual. I'm going to call him Saul for a little bit, but keep your ears open because I'll screw up and I'll end up saying Paul. So for just a quick summation, Saul was a Pharisee of Pharisees, sat at the feet of Gamaliel, extremely, extremely well taught and well versed in the Old Testament. There was actually places in Scripture where it says, when it came to the law, he was blameless in the law. Under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, it is written of him that he was blameless. He lived a very upright life. We often have a tendency to see those religious zealots and listen to actually what the Scripture says about most of them, saying they put burdens on you that nobody else will bear. They themselves won't even bear. But Paul says, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, he followed it. So when he was Saul, he was going forward thinking he was doing the right thing, that he was going to stop these individuals that stood up in Jesus' name and were preaching. The awesome thing about an individual like Saul is when God gets a hold of them, they don't lose their zeal. They're on fire. And as he gives an account here to Agrippa, and this is kind of another interesting story, we won't spend a lot of time on it, but if you read the account in Acts, you find out that the Jews finally trapped Paul. Now I'm calling him Paul, okay? But they trapped him. They put him in bonds, and they wanted to kill him. And so then anyways, he ends up in the hands of Felix. Festus. He actually was in the hands of Felix first. But he's in the hands of Festus, and Festus turns around and says, I don't know what to do with this guy, because the Jews want him killed. Because he spoke so bravely and so boldly about the resurrected Christ. So Festus sits down and listens to him, and he's like, I really can't find a reason to kill him. He hasn't done anything that is worthy of death. So he's thinking about this, and Agrippa, he comes to Caesarea. He's a king. He comes to Caesarea, and he's talking with Festus. And Festus says, I got this real unique dude down there in the prison. This guy's unique. All the Jews can't stand him. They want to kill him. I've interviewed him, and I have no reason to kill him. I don't know what to do with him. But the fact of it is, when I questioned him, he finally said that he wanted to see Caesar. And Paul has a uniqueness. He has dual citizenship. He is not only a citizen of Jerusalem, but he is actually of the Israelites. He actually is also a natural born citizen of the Roman government. So he has the right to appeal to Caesar. God knows what he's doing. Because God wanted the message of Jesus Christ brought all the way into Rome. So Paul tells Festus that he wants to see Caesar. Agrippa is very intrigued. So he wants to talk to Paul. He wants to see who this Paul is. And that's where our text picks up. Agrippa's there with Bernice, and he turns around and he tells Paul, he says, speak. Defend yourself before the king. He says, you have permission to speak. Paul stretches forth his hand. And I think this is awesome because there's many witnesses that are there. Paul uses this opportunity to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, to preach the resurrection. And that's why we're here today. We're here to celebrate the resurrection. That in and through Jesus Christ, not only has he been resurrected, but in and through him, we also are resurrected. We have life. Paul's not concerned for his own earthly life. Paul says very plainly, to die is gain. But he has a purpose to share the gospel one more time. So he stretches out his hand, he becomes quite theatrical about this thing, and he makes a defense for himself. He says, I'm actually quite fortunate. I'm blessed to be speaking to you, King Agrippa. He says, I'm going to make a defense for you today about the accusations of all the Jews. He says, and I'm really excited that it's you, Agrippa, because you understand where I'm coming from. Now, if we don't study Scripture, we wouldn't know this. But do we know who Agrippa is? Agrippa is the great-grandson of Herod the Great, who was actually converted to Judaism. So he would be born and raised in understanding of what's going on in that area. He would understand the traditions. He would understand what was being said. And he also would understand that to the Israelites, that the resurrection was a very powerful message. Not all of them believed in it. The Sadducees didn't believe in the resurrection, but the Pharisees and the high priests and the rabbis, they all believed. So it was always an argument between the Sadducees and the Pharisees on the resurrection. I remember one of the pastors that serves for us once in a while said, you can always remember they didn't believe in the resurrection because they're Sadducee. And I'll never forget that. But the fact of it is, he says, Agrippa, you understand our heritage. You understand who we are and the arguments that have been going on. He says, so I'm asking that you just listen to me. He says, we all know where I come from. Ever since my youth, I was raised up in our religion. I was raised up in our understanding. I was a good old boy. My daddy was a good old boy. I'm a good old boy. Isn't that the question we ask? Whose boy are you? He says, and you know what? In fact, we all know, and if these people here would testify the truth, they understand that I was in the strictest realm of our faith, of our religion. I was a Pharisee. I was bold. He says, and now I'm standing actually in front of you at trial because of actually the own beliefs that we all hold. He says, it's interesting. He says, because we have these promises from the Father that have been given through the prophets. He says, in fact, all of our tribe, our whole body has waited for this great coming. He says, and we earnestly worship each and every day waiting for this coming of the Messiah. This is our whole purpose. He says, actually, King Agrippa, I can't figure out why, why this would be so incredible that I would speak of a resurrection to this group, or actually to you. Why is it thought so interesting of the resurrection? We've believed in this from the beginning. All of the Jews, except I'd say as a Sadducees sect, believed in the resurrection. He says, now, I was actually on the other side of the fence. I was on their side, King Agrippa. I went about persecuting the Christian church. I went about doing the best that I could do. I was bringing people to charge. I was bringing charges against people, no doubt about it. He says, in fact, we were even going to the point of bringing them to death. He says, and when I was bringing them to death, or we were bringing them to death, he says, I put my vote in. And we could find this from the scripture where it says that Saul was standing by when Stephen gave great testimony and they stoned him to death. It says that they laid their coats their robes at the feet of Saul. And it says very plainly in the scripture, Saul was consenting to the death of Stephen. He put his vote in. This is who he was. So many times in our life we get so upset over the sin we see in the world, the difficulty that's thrown our way, people that may be in our way. But do we realize that God's not done yet? The greatest hope of the resurrection of Jesus Christ is that all would believe, that all would be able to hear the gospel message, that He died for your sin debt. He has washed you clean, and He has made you to be a new creature, as Paul himself would say. The greatest vision that we can have of that resurrection day is, yes, that tomb is empty, but my tomb is also empty because of the finished work of Jesus Christ. Are you struggling? Are you struggling in this day and age trying to make ends meet? Are you trying to struggle your way of raising children? Trying to figure out the brilliant politics of our nation? We're looking at the wrong thing. To understand and know that your God, your Creator, has loved you so much that He came in the form of human flesh, in the form we call Jesus Christ. And He laid down His life in your behalf. Because we understand one thing plainly. Sin brings death. And Christ nailed that sin, your sin, my sin, to the cross. But He shows beyond that the great resurrection where He overcomes hell, death, and the devil for each and every one of us. That this word, that this message may be preached to one more ear, as we even asked in our offertory prayer. That one more ear may hear this. That hearts of stone would be broken. And He would be glorified. That you and I and all of them may understand that we are redeemed in His finished work. Paul says, I was out persecuting. I was doing my job, as I thought, as a Pharisee, a religious zealot. He said, I made sure everybody was paying their pound of flesh. He said, now come son, and I'm walking along. Me and my cronies, we're heading out to Damascus. We're going to really kick some butt over there. He says, it's the middle of the daytime. And something brighter than the sun, the physical sun, came into our presence. Paul doesn't really go into the detail here, but he actually becomes blind by this. To show his blindness as a Pharisee. He says, I'm walking along, this bright light comes, brighter than the sun we could ever imagine, and they didn't have halogens back then, they didn't have LED. This was Christ. He falls to the earth, and his eyes fall with him, and he hears this voice, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? To understand that God be on our side, that we all in Christ are together. And when we offend one another, we offend another, we in reality take a kick against him. But the fact of it is, he says, why are you persecuting me? He says, hard for you, isn't it? It's hard for you to kick against the goad, as it says. It says pricks in King James. But the fact of it is, that was a stick that was used to herd animals. And they would actually poke the animals with it, that they would do what they want. Try kicking that. It's hard, isn't it? Now he's facing him. Who is he facing? He doesn't even know. Saul, who was a Pharisee of Pharisees, religion beyond measure. He had all kinds of religion going for him. Didn't even know God. Do we know Him? Each and every one of us here today. Doesn't matter. I'm not trying to be cynical. Doesn't matter about your neighbor. Doesn't matter about anybody else around you. Doesn't matter about the cousin down the road, whatever else. Do we know Him as Lord and Savior? Do we know Him as the redemption? If you don't like the word sin, then for all of our screw-ups, our anger, our hatred, our bitterness, our jealousy, our lying, our stealing, our lust. Oh, lust is always only in a sexual way, right? No. Earthly lust. Anything else? Do we know Him? Saul falls to the ground and he does not know Him. Yet he felt he was defending God. He was doing the right thing. He felt he was in the right way. But God's not done with him. He encounters him. He meets him where he needs to be met. He shows him his own blindness. Saul falls to the earth. And he says, "Who are you, Lord?" He says, "I am Jesus. The very one that you're persecuting." He says, "Rise up on your feet. And go your way." He says, "And I'm going to show you what I'm going to do with you. I am going to make you a witness not only to the Jews, but also to the Gentiles." Paul, in his right mind as Saul, the Pharisee, would never even come near a Gentile. He would keep himself. He'd be very, very exclusive. Jesus says, "That time is done. You will be inclusive." Brothers and sisters in Christ, that is the same today. Christianity is not exclusive. It is very inclusive. Because Christ Jesus, it says within the Scripture, died for the sins of the whole world. For each and every one of you, and each and every one of them, and even for a wretch like me, Christ died. That they may have the hope of salvation formed through faith by grace. It is a beautiful gift. And this is what we're missing. This is what we're missing when we separate from the body. This is what we're missing when we separate from the Word. That we live more than conquerors in this world. That we have the victory of the resurrected Christ. This is our victory. Can you imagine that song we sing? And thank you, praise team, for singing that song. "Because He Lives." I was singing that all morning this morning. I put it, "Oh, God Bless America," on Facebook even. But the reality of it is, because He lives, all fear is gone. What do you fear? Live in Him. Be encouraged by Him. Receive the forgiveness of your sins through His blood, because He gave it to you. It's not about a church tradition. It's not about the strength of men. It is about the finished work of Jesus Christ and His promises. The one who has created everything out of nothing can do these great and wondrous works. Do we believe? Paul says very plainly, "I was going to be a witness." He told me I was going to be a witness. I was going to go to all these places. He says, "And you know what? I didn't back down. I did what I was called to do." He continues to speak to the point of telling him exactly what God had done in and through him. And Festus comes to the point of very strongly saying, "You're nuts. Oh, you're nuts. All this head knowledge has made you crazy." And he says, "No, I've never seen so clearly. Thanks be to God, by His gospel, by the understanding of Jesus Christ, I have never seen so clearly." He says, "I'm not out of my mind, Festus." He says, "But I'm actually more rational and I'm speaking more truth than I've ever spoken in my life." Do you want to be rational? Do you want to speak truth? And follow His word. We often think that we are so much in command of our lives, and I often have this tendency too. But when you go down to bed tonight, and you're laying there upon that bed, and you go to sleep, please tell me. Tell me one thing that you do to keep your heart beating. It's not a fearful thing. God keeps us alive. God gives us life. We may argue, and we may just have arguments and different discussions over what type of God we may know. The God that I know is the one that has laid down His life on my behalf. That hasn't demanded from me, hasn't asked me to do all kinds of poses, sacrifices, or killings. The God of heaven gave His own life in our behalf. Christianity is a unique faith. We call them religions, but I call Christianity real and the rest religions, dedications of men. Christianity is the only faith that has grace. Every other religion in this world dictates to you what you must do to appease God. Brothers and sisters in Christ, He is appeased. He is satisfied in Jesus Christ. He says, I'm not nuts. He says, Agrippa, I know you know these things. I do. I know who you are. I know whose boy you are. I know. He says, in fact, he comes to a closing. I know we don't like that technical term because it's kind of salesman-y. But he does. Look what he does here. He says, King Agrippa, do you believe the prophets? He says, I know you do. Agrippa turns and he's looking at him. He says, really, Paul? In a short time, you'd persuade me to be a Christian? He says, man alive, Paul says, whether short or long, I would that God, that to God, not only you, but also each and every person hears, that hears me, would be the same as I. That yes, would be a Christian. Those that believe in the finished work of Jesus Christ. He says, except I don't wish these bonds on you. He was in chains. He was a prisoner. He says, but yes, I do. And that question comes out to us today. We are here for a purpose. I don't care if you came here to please me. I don't care if you claim to please Mom, Dad, Uncle Sally, whatever it may be. You are here. God has allowed you to be here today. And the question comes to you. Do you believe in the prophets? Do you believe in the gospel? Do you believe in Christ Jesus who has given Himself for you? Then you have life. And you have it eternally. We're going to leave here today and we're going to face the reality of this world. But no one can take that from you. He says, man alive. Agrippa says, this is nuts. This guy speaks truth. So they pull away from him and they say, like, we'd let him go. We'd let him go except for he already appealed to Caesar. And now he has to go to Caesar. He has done nothing amiss. Isn't that the amazing thing? God wanted Paul to go to Rome to preach the message. And the government will pay the bill to get him there. God is awesome. Paul is being even transferred, even though they say he is of truth, he is of sound mind. We have no reason, but we have to bring him. Why was Jesus crucified? What was the ultimate cause that they said why they were crucifying him? They came to Pontius Pilate and they said, he's a malefactor. He said, what? What has he done? He says, we have a law. The Israelites say, we have a law. He has made himself to be the Son of God. Therefore, he ought to die. Jesus was crucified for the truth. Paul was brought to Rome in truth. Brothers and sisters in Christ, may we serve him in truth. And may he be glorified. May we celebrate. As I heard a little statement today, or yesterday actually, my wife was showing me it, that our Easter baskets are full. And praise God for that because we like candy, don't we? But that tomb is empty. And boy, is it nice to see that empty. Brothers and sisters in Christ, He has risen. Have we? For His name's sake. Amen. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly